Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to give someone the rest of the month off for one of the greatest texts we've ever gotten.
Wow, rest of the month. We're only 7 days into October. This must be good.
Yeah. Jack Cochran, if you throw another fit, the Chiefs must acquit.
That is good. You get the month.
Oh, my.
Jack Cochran. I thought you said Johnny Cochran.
I didn't think we were going to get an OJ trial reference after that game.
Maybe his shoe is too small and it doesn't fit his foot, and that's why he kicked it out of bounds.
I know somebody's shoe that's too small that's kicking it out of bounds. All right. May you just mention? Somebody says on the text that I'm done with Harry B.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
It is. But this is the way it goes in sports, guys. You don't want to see your heroes get old. You don't want to see your heroes lose it. And that's the one thing that in sports, the sports fan just does not grasp. When teams get rid of players, they're usually doing it at the right time, right? Teams, most of the time, do not get rid of good players, especially in the NFL. And so when you see a guy's name get cut, you think, oh, my God, I know that guy. He's a good player. And you realize the team realized we're getting out ahead of what's going on right now. There was no way to see this Harrison Butker downfall coming, though, Dusty. He was fine last year, yeah. Right? There was no way to really see this Harrison Butker downfall happen. But it is happening right before our eyes. And Nathan mentioned earlier he's got a lot of dead money next year on the salary cap. So moving on from him would be a costly venture for this organization.
What is it, about $14 million?
It would cost about seven, but seven. For a kicker, insanely high.
Ironic is right. Yeah, it is a high number, but you know, I have a friend of mine that always tells me, and she says, don't worry about the sunk costs. If you don't like something, move on from it. Don't let, because you paid for it, continue to affect your life, right?
Good advice from Emily.
It is, right? And so if you've got the sunk costs out here, like Harrison Butker, it's $7 million. Yeah, that hurts, right? This is, again, we'll get some stadium information coming up, but this is why you need more money coming in. So when you do have to move on with Harrison Butker, it's not as big a hit in your pocketbook, you know, cash-wise. Cap-wise, yes. Cash-wise, no. It's two separate things right now. Yeah, they've got sunk costs in Harrison Butker right now, but this guy, more so than anybody on the field, is directly aligned to all three losses for the Kansas City Chiefs. All three losses have had miscues, bad kicks, mistakes made by Harrison Butker. In all three losses, you can go back to the kicker and say, he's a big reason why we lost this football game. And last night, that is malpractice, kicking it out of bounds with 1:45 to go on the clock. That is malpractice doing something like that.
Sometimes getting somebody out of the system or, you know, realizing that it doesn't work anymore, it helps the entire team. And I don't know if that's what they do with Harrison Butker next year. I mean, sometimes having three on-air hosts isn't good. You need to go back to having two. Do you think Max still lives up to this?
Travis Hunter will be one of the biggest busts in NFL history.
He was good last night.
He did okay.
Yeah.
He did okay.
Yeah. Best performance he's had.
Oh, yeah. Coming out party last night.
Two years with three was a bad deal, man.
Yeah. But I think when you look at this game last night, when you look at the things that you take away, number one is credit to the Jags.
Yep.
Right? They didn't back down.
No, they did not.
They didn't, you know, they took advantage of the advantages you gave them. Again, I still firmly believe, and I will stand on business on this, that if they intercept that ball with 5:55 left in the second half, that game, or in the first half, that game is over.
But here's another thing that you just said that I think merits a lot of discussion. You said Jacksonville never backed down in this game, right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs are used to being up 14-0 and people going away and backing down. You said earlier in the show, teams don't fear the Chiefs anymore. I think you're 1,000,000% right when you say something like that. And last night proved it. Last night needs to be more of a wake-up call from that standpoint, that being up 14-0 is not going to cause these teams to go away. Liam Cohen's halftime interview had me scared. I'm not going to lie. I watched him at halftime, you know, talking to the reporter for ESPN. He goes, we're good, man. We feel, you know, and it was really positive and like, I'm like, that's a pretty good leader right now, that he's leading his team through all of this. And so to me, like, that's one of the biggest takeaways, Dusty, is that this team, as you've said, is no longer feared. Even with a 14-point lead, you got to go out there and you got to continue to be aggressive, because teams aren't backing down from the Chiefs. They're not running away and hiding because you're up 14-0 anymore.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things. It's a reality defining moment, because the Chiefs quit, Jacksonville didn't. Kansas City Chiefs were up 14-0, could have gone up 17, could have gone up 21-0 at the end of the first half. That would have been the dagger. That would have been when it was done. It wasn't. And, you know, it's almost like the Chiefs get irritated and then their emotions come out and then they're just a dead stick, right? It's and we referenced this earlier with watching youth sports of your children, where like your kid might be a great athlete, but if something falters and they don't know it, how many times, you know, have you had a friend that has a kid that's like a really good athlete, and all of a sudden they look at you and they're like, yeah, he's pissed off, it's over.
Yep.
And you're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, when he does this, he gets his own head, it's over. And we've seen that with professional athletes. I remember seeing it all the time with Brady Singer when he was a pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. If he went out in the first inning and gave up a home run early or gave up a couple runs, you saw him pissing and moaning on the mound. You're like, Brady's checked out.
Right.
But if he went through the first couple innings, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and had his stuff, you're like, okay, this is the Brady Singer we need to see. But if he didn't have that, it was over. We would see it with Brad Keller. Now, these guys aren't like superstar athletes, but the examples are there.
They're professional big league players.
And you would see, like, Brad Keller would go to the post-game interviews. He'd say, well, I couldn't get my footing in the mound. Like, why are you worried about this stuff? Go out there and pitch. Have somebody from the grounds crew go over there and fix it, and don't let it phase you throughout the rest of the game. That game last night, there was a lot of that happened, where maybe some stuff is out of their control. Maybe there's some stuff that they can't control that they're now letting their emotions take over. And when you do that and everybody else notices it, that other team that you're playing also notices that. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence picking on Brian Cook all night. That is looking like a disaster. The safeties weren't really good last night. The throw, the dot to BTJ at the end of the game down the sideline, that ball has to be deflected.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a perfectly thrown ball. There's nothing you could have done. Trevor Lawrence made a beautiful pass on that.
It was, but I mean, again, that's on your defense. That play has to be made. And just dummy O penalties, Cochran on the special teams, Harrison Butker kicking the ball out of bounds, watching Chris Jones completely just give up at the end of the game.
Yeah, he quit on his team last
100%
night.
100% he did.
He owes the city an apology today for quitting on his team last night.
And, you know, obviously we've gotten the news that he's deleted his X account. It's over. It's gone.
Which is a direct reflection of how they handle losing.
Which, that's the problem to me. And I'm going to bring that up with Dayton Hughes, because this team, when it doesn't go their way, it causes a downward spiral. Because how many times have you seen one person act a fool and then it's, you know, contagious throughout? Seeing Travis Kelce, seeing Chris Jones kind of lose their mind on the sideline. Those are leaders. Those are Hall of Fame players. And if they can do it, well, then surely I can do it.
Right, and Jack Cochran's over there doing it, right? And he should not be doing that kind of stuff. And this failure that they had, you know, and we're watching it. I'll give you a baseball analogy, Dusty. A lot of these baseball players get drafted through high school, all this kind of stuff. They get to the minor leagues. They're the best, the best, the best. They've never had to deal with failure. And then when they get into the big leagues, they have to deal with failure in a big way. It's not failing. It's how you adjust and adapt and change and use failure to turn that into positives. That's the opportunity that the Chiefs have at this juncture, at 2-3. The season is far from over, but they've got to correct some things. They've got to work some things out. They've got to figure some things out. And one of the things that they need to work on, and they need to work on this fast, how to deal with failure and not let your emotions get the best of you. Because we've seen the emotions in every game so far this season get the best of the Kansas City Chiefs at one point or another. You've got to control those emotions. You're adults.
There's also questions as to why Noel Williams was only in the game for three plays. That's also there. We'll get into that. Plus, we get into the mind of Dayton Hughes as he joins us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Dayton Hughes on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it's a Tuesday, which means Dayton Hughes joins us here, and it is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. Dayton on the air now with us here on a Tuesday. Dana, I want to ask you straight up, since that game was kind of a tough one here. Do you think this team plays spoiled when things don't go their way?
I don't know if it's that. I just think that we are a team, and I was trying to look up my notes last year, and I couldn't remember if it was 11 straight or 13 straight one-score games that we won, and that was a record. And it seems like we're on the opposite side of that spectrum now. And we're losing close games, winning games that we should, losing games that, you know, that we play well enough to win in, just figure out ways to lose. And when you look at that game last night, I mean, you have a botched interception, should have been an easy interception, and Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton bump into each other. You have 13 penalties. Outside of those penalties, you look at the stat sheet, and if I would have told you going into the game that we would run the ball for over 7 yards a carry, throw the ball for over 7 yards per pass, we would have the numbers that we would put up, we would not settle for any field goals, we'd put touchdowns on the board, you would think, based on all of that, that it was a win. And yet, we allowed the team to stick around. We allowed them to get life. I thought outside of the penalties, outside of the last drive, the missed time jump by Jalen Watson, one of the turning points of that game was the three and out before the half and the three and out coming out after halftime. Two consecutive opportunities to put points on the board, to get momentum, to pull away a little bit. The 99-yard interception return definitely didn't help. But I don't know if it's spoiled. I just think that we're in a position now where, you know, we're losing games that we've become accustomed to winning, and other teams are figuring that out against us. You know, last year, as good as the season as it was, like you could make an argument 15-2 could have easily been, 10-7, maybe even less because of these type of games.
Yeah, and these are the games that, you know, they were 11-0 last year in one-score games, Dan, and now they're 0-3 in one-score games. And it's really bizarre because I think, and I think you're going to understand what I'm saying here, I thought they played really good last night. I thought they were really good on offense. Yeah. I thought they were fine on defense. But when you have 13 penalties, you can't overcome that in the game, especially when they're on special teams. So I thought they played good. Like, that's not the concern. The concern is They're just not doing the little things that are necessary to win games. Maybe they didn't have to do those before because they were so more superiorly talented than everybody else. Now they've got to start doing those little things because those little things are what makes the difference. And it just doesn't seem like they do that.
Yeah, that's a great argument.
Thank you.
And I can align myself with that. The little things are, and to me, some of those little things are extra efforts. Some of the little things obviously are taking advantage of opponents' miscues and mishaps, and not putting ourselves behind the eight ball. And, you know, with the penalties, I mean, it was somewhat uncharacteristic. I mean, I thought, you know, and even Andy Reid, when I interviewed him in the post game, mentioned the penalties and thought maybe a few of them were not necessarily accurate, and he's, you know, and we're not going to get into the whole blaming the refs.
Right.
But when you are 13-4 in the NFL and you're not the Raiders of old, you got to look at that to some extent. I was questioning a few of those calls, the kickoff returns, you know, Harrison Butker kicking the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. It's just very uncharacteristic things that are happening that, like you said, are just the little things that to keep the ball in play, now they have to return. And there was some question as to whether you would kick the ball through the end zone and not allow them an opportunity for a big spark in the kickoff return game. I was not of that school of thought. I just feel like when you talk about the little things, okay, we go up, and they have to get a touchdown. Like, what better position do you want to be in than forcing the team to have to score a touchdown to win the game? And as a former special teams guy, like, I want to be on that unit that goes down the field and kind of kills their thoughts of any chance of winning. Kick the ball in bounds, force them to return it, and make somebody make a big play or have somebody make a big play in the coverage unit.
And run clock.
Maybe got a little too, make them run the clock out. They only had one timeout, and I believe they ended the game with that same timeout. So not only did they drive the field, they didn't even have to use their timeout. Now, they had a pinpoint perfect throw down the sideline to Brian Thomas Jr., mistimed by Jalen Watson. Pretty good coverage there, just a perfect throw that, you know, maybe you got to realize prior to that play, you play for what you assume at some point in that drive they were going to try to get a chunk play and put yourself in better position to defend it. But it, like, all of this stuff is leading into those little things that you're talking about.
Dane, and I know you were there and you watched it, and I'm sure you've seen it again. What's your opinion on that effort from Chris Jones on that play that Trevor Lawrence fell down, got up, and scored?
Definitely has to be something to look at. You look at the interception return. Love Tyquan Thornton's effort.
No doubt.
Wondered why he was the only one down there. And then you look at that play, the touchdown, and then Chris Jones had one tackle.
Half a tackle.
Half a tackle. He had, I believe, eight tackles going into the game. Like, I feel like if you're trying to change things around, then you got to look at your stars as leaders. And the leaders are not just the guys that are in the middle of the circle screaming and yelling. They're not just the guys that get the loudest cheer when it's pregame introduction. They're not just the guys that are told or asked to go to the podium after the game. The leaders are the guys that are the hardest workers, that their attitude and their efforts are contagious on the field. And, you know, you go back to what was it, last week with Patrick Mahomes and the backward pass. That's a leadership moment. That's a highlight moment when you make a mistake and then you go and throw your body in harm's way, especially as a quarterback, and get the ball back. Those are points that you point out in the film session that confirms your leadership, and everybody recognizes that. And now we got a situation where it was highlighted Chris basically took a play off. I don't know why he did that. I don't know what was going through his head, but I do know that if you're a leader, like, it's got to show. And the film don't lie. That's one thing that I always was told. The eye in the sky does not lie. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say in the moments, the film tells the absolute truth, good and bad. And that's something that they're going to have to look at, because to me, for him to not give that effort, you put yourself in a position where you cannot be the yelling guy on the sideline to coaches. You cannot be the yelling guy and the rally guy until you right that wrong.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought up the wide receiver as well, or not the wide receiver, but the interception. Patrick Mahomes was the only one on that interception other than Tyquan Thornton who ran down the field. I've never seen somebody run that fast down the field, out of bounds, knocking people over to make a play. Like, Tyquan Thornton, I may buy a jersey. I like that guy so much, right? Patrick Mahomes is really the only guy who made an effort on that interception. I want to give Lloyd all the credit in the world. He was fantastic. He hid, he disguised himself, and then all of a sudden he appeared. He read that play perfectly. Patrick gave the effort to make that tackle. He missed the tackle. He assumed, I guess, everybody else would help him out. Nobody else did, you know, on that play. And for me, it's more so though where we are with the kicker now, Dana, because in all three losses, he's had a significant impact on why this team has lost the games. I'm done with Harry.
Are you? I mean, is that what it took?
I am, because here's the other thing. Hitting a 60-yard field goal anymore is normal. Like, it's not unique. He's not different than anybody else right now in the NFL. All these guys can bang him through from 60 yards out. He's providing me nothing right now that is unique, different than any other kicker out there, and he's been a major factor, in my opinion, in all three losses.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, when it rains, it pours, and when we're losing, especially in the way we're losing games, to be in a situation where we're used to winning these close games, we've lost three games all by one score, and in the fashion that it's being done, you start to question everything. You start to question, you know, what you're doing on defense, some of the decisions that you made on offense. I thought the interception kind of sparked the different approach the next two times we got inside the 5-yard line. We ran the ball. I thought we should have ran the ball on that play as well. And they corrected that. So I give them credit for recognizing in game to correct things. But I also understand that when you lose games like that, the scrutiny definitely comes out, and looking deeper at every aspect of the game is normal. So I guess Arison Butker, as much grace as that we want to give him because of his career and all the great kicks, and he's definitely going to be a guy on the Ring of Honor, probably going to be a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame. This is also part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has to, the microscope comes out for everyone.
When do you realize, though, like, it's over? Like, he reminds me of a closer. You know, you get 3 or 4 years other than Mariano Rivera out of a closer. You go that fourth or fifth year, like, oh my God, he lost it. I feel like that's where we are with Butker. How do you balance what he's done in the past, what he's meant to this organization, versus what he's doing now? Because what he's doing now, he's nobody.
Yeah. You know what? That's a hard question to answer. I don't know. I mean, I played with Hall of Famers, and you know, either they were really old and you kind of knew, or they kind of knew that their time had been passed, or, they lost a step. I mean, I can't even think of a Hall of Famer that I played with, and I played with, I believe, 7 or 8 of them, that you knew at the time that it was time, outside of just them aging out, like Joe Montana. So I don't know what it looks like. I know that I would never want to be a left tackle, and I would never want to be a kicker, just because you can do a whole bunch of things right, and all it takes is one thing wrong, and people are calling for your job, or people are talking about the backup, or the draft, and so on and so forth. Perfection for officials, kickers, and left tackles is what's assumed. So I would never want to be that, but at the same time, I feel like you know, we have set the standard as far as winning close games, winning big games, and being that kind of force. And right now, that's not happening.
Danon, I want to give you one more. Again, we appreciate you joining us here. Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver here on 96.5 The Fan. A game against Detroit this Sunday, it's no secret what they are. Can a loss like that kind of get lost in the process because of what you have to prepare for on a short week with a team that's coming in? Like, it's, I don't want to say it's good that Detroit's playing here on Sunday, but it can be if you need to just get over this loss and move on to a team like Detroit, who I think we can all agree is a much better team than that Jacksonville Jaguar team, and they will blow you out if you play like that in the second half in that game against Detroit.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of incentive and a lot of points that you would look at to play well against the Detroit Lions. I think the bar has been set by teams like the Lions, and if you go back a few years, you could make an argument that when we played the Lions on opening night and they beat us at Arrowhead, that was the catalyst for their successes up to this point. I don't know if they had the same kind of success that they have without beating us back then. And they're going to come in with a lot of confidence. Now, they got some injuries on their defensive side, and we got to take advantage of that. But I feel like if you are a Chiefs team that has aspirations of making it to San Francisco and representing the AFC in the championship and making a strong run, although we have done it with more losses and we have been in a situation where we were 3-4 and made it to the AFC championship, you have to be looking about beating teams that are going to come in, especially now favored, and showing the entire NFL that these one-score games are just anomalies. They are not, you know, what we are or who we are, who we aspire to be, and they're going to have a chance quickly on Sunday Night Football. Again, the only game on national stage, and we're at home, so we got to get it done.
I lied to you. This is the last one. Do you think that people still fear the Chiefs?
I think that they still fear our offense with the ball late. I will say that. I don't know if the fear of the entire team, I don't know if, you know, like we talk about with Harrison Butker and maybe some questions there. I don't know if they fear, okay, if this team has to kick a last-minute field goal. Is that the same fear as they had last year when we had three different kickers kick game-winning field goals, first team ever to have that? I know that there's got to be some uneasiness on the sidelines if we have the ball with over a minute left and a couple of timeouts to have to drive the ball down the field and Patrick Mahomes is at the helm. Like, I can imagine that there was definitely some fear last night that they scored a little bit too quickly at the end and gave us a chance. But I don't know if it's at the level as it used to be because we haven't been able to pull out these close games.
No doubt. Dana, well, do me a favor and get some sleep, man. You had a long night, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, and hopefully they can get a win on Sunday against those Lions.
All right, fellas. Have a good week.
You too, bud.
That is Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
One, two, three.
Oatmeal raisin.
I'll keep this first one short and sweet. We've talked about it a lot all morning, but I want to hear your one word to just the absurdity that was that final touchdown play. Lawrence stumbling a couple of times, getting up. Chris Jones taking the play off. One word on what the heck that was.
I'm going to say unacceptable. Unacceptable, because he was down twice. And your captain, your leader, who deleted his Twitter account last night, is standing there watching the play happen and gave zero effort on that final play. Unacceptable.
My one word would be lackadaisical. I mean, that was just, I mean, there's so many that pop into my head. Lazy, effortless, disappointing. Like that play at the end, that's the one thing I always say that I hated that my dad would do. When he would say, I'm not mad at you, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
Like that's where Spags goes up to Chris and says, I'm not mad at you, Chris, but I'm very disappointed with the way that game ended with your effort. So, yeah, a lot of, you know, not words you want to hear when it comes to that.
Bobby made a good point earlier about Liam Cohen.
Thank you.
Of course.
Remind me of my point.
That we didn't know much of, well, we didn't know much about him other than the cringy stuff. And he gave a good halftime report.
Yeah.
And Laura Rutledge just came back and said something like, so everyone just needs to breathe. And he's like, yeah, and he smiles and it's all. And he had this to say about Trevor Lawrence after the game.
Yeah, it's a goofy finish, but what a tough moment for him to be able to say, like, he wasn't going to lose. And that's kind of really what it comes down to. He wasn't going to lose, and he made an unbelievable individual effort.
Well, guys, the Jaguars went up against a good quarterback for the first time all season last night. They came out ahead. Can you give me one word on the Jaguars, their chances, what they've got cooking down there?
I'm going to say emergence. Last night was an emergent game for them and an emergent game for their quarterback as well. He emerged last night as a guy that you could rely on. He went right down the field, albeit 60 yards, didn't have to use the timeout, and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a moment for Trevor Lawrence last night.
My one word is
Duval.
They got you. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We made fun of him. Yep. I stand corrected. He went in there and he stuck with it. So congrats would be my one word to that man.
Well, and Dusty, we've talked a lot today about things not going the Chiefs' way after those first two drives. They still had almost 500 yards of offense last night. Mm-hmm. 476 yards of total offense.
Your quarterback threw for 300, ran for 60.
Yeah.
And they ran for over 7 yards
and,
carry
and
as well.
And you lost. Like, the one word is awesome. I thought they were great offensively last night. You had one mistake in the game. That was the interception. It's a big mistake.
Huge.
But you had one mistake in that game last night from an offensive standpoint. I thought they were really good offensively last night, but it gets overshadowed obviously because of all the mistakes that they made that took an unbelievable effort from them offensively and turned it into a game where we're all ticked off at the kicker in number 95.
Overshadows a good one.
Overshadows it, yeah.
Dusty, one word on the Chiefs offense.
Solid, but again, like 14-point swing with that interception, it has to be brought up. I mean, that is a uncharacteristic play by Patrick Mahomes. We talk about all these things. Here's your one word, uncharacteristic. Everything last night, Butker kicking the ball out of bounds, uncharacteristic. Chris Jones quitting on that last play, uncharacteristic. Patrick Mahomes throwing that interception, and then nobody giving a vigilant effort other than Tyquan Thornton and Patrick Mahomes, who dove at his feet to try to knock him off the ground. Didn't work. So that's just, it's a big play. It's a 14-point swing. And then you throw that interception that they dropped. I mean, there's 21 points right there if you take the, you know, the high ride.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Quick detour from the NFL here for one more on one word. The Brewers took care of the Cubs last night. The Dodgers won in Philadelphia. Now three of those series are 2-0 leads. So one word on which of the three teams, those being the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Yankees, that is the most likely to get back in their series and possibly advance?
I'm going to say the Yankees, but I don't think any of them are.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I have a topic I want to bring up later today about the Dodgers and why I think winning the World Series is good for baseball, for change. But I think if there's one team that can do it, it's probably the Yankees. Let's get back to the Bronx and then get to 2-2 and give us a banger at the Rogers Center for a Game 5.
Yeah.
Because I don't think – I mean, Kyle Schwarber's disappeared.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, I don't know. And then you just look at the Dodgers pitching staff, and it's absolutely disgusting. They got Roki Sasaki at their closing games, who's going to be a future ace.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yamamoto, Glasnow, Snell, Otani.
Dodgers are kind of like the Chiefs in the heyday, you know, kind of toy around in the regular season, get to the playoffs, turn it on when it matters most.
You want to talk about some stadium stuff?
Yeah, we'll do that coming
Feel
up.
Feel free. Do it next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob. I know nothing, so I'll let you take it away. Look, I just sit back and react. You know what? I'll be Chris Jones here, and I'll just sit back and watch.
See, I don't want that. I want you involved. I want you making plays. I need you there. You're a star.
I'm Jackson County, so of course I want the stadiums to stay. After the news that I was read yesterday, it ain't happening. It's going to
one. Is that what you thought yesterday when you saw that news come down?
When I saw the news yesterday, I saw Northland or I saw 95th and Null or 119th and Null.
Oh, you're talking Royals. I'm talking Chiefs now stadium wise. Okay.
So Chiefs, what I saw is what I've seen the entire time since this has started, which was, hey, Royals, move so we can figure this out. Because I do firmly believe, hand to God, that Clark Hunt wants to just build a fortress at the Truman Sports Complex solely for the Chiefs. That's my personal belief, but that can't happen. Those wheels can't move until the guys that wear blue figure out where they want to go. And from what I've gathered, from what I've read and seen, now whether I trust these people or not, it seems like Northland or
Clay
County or 119.
Yeah, the Clay County thing, I'll just call it right now, is a stupid plan. It really is. It is a bad plan. Johnson County is the epicenter of where your season ticket base is. 55% of your season ticket holders for the Royals live within 5 miles of the spring campus. And I believe like 70% of people who go to multiple games of the year live much closer to the spring campus. You'd be moving further away from your ticket base. I mean, and that's just the fact of the matter. Clay County would also have to vote in Dusty a sales tax. I heard yesterday somewhere between 0.75% and 1% sales tax. That would push the sales tax in Clay County and KC Mo to about 9.5% and in Liberty to 9.75% sales tax. So essentially a 10% tax on everything that you buy would be the new kind of tax rate up in Clay County if you're in KC Mo and if you're in Liberty. And you also need a vote of the people if you're going to go to Clay County. In Kansas, you don't need a vote of the people. I don't think anybody wants to go to the vote of the people. Plus, Clay County is not accessible by any sort of highways whatsoever. It's just a bad location. And in Clay County also, too, the one thing that people aren't factoring in, the Royals, if they go to 119th and Null, are there by themselves. There's no entertainment competition for them. If you build in Clay County, you're competing with Power and Light. And you know what else you're competing with? That massive entertainment district that the Kansas City Current are building right there across the river. The Clay County thing makes zero sense for me whatsoever. And it just doesn't sound like anything that seems, ooh, that sounds good for the Royals. You know, the Atlanta Braves did this 20 years ago. They built the TED, if you will, downtown Atlanta, where they had the Olympics. They converted it. 20 years later, they moved to the suburbs. That's what I think would happen in Clay County. They would build that stadium. It wouldn't give them what they want. And in 20 years, we're doing this again. And then we're really talking about, you know, going out to Johnson County. So from the Royal standpoint, I just think the Clay County idea is just a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Chiefs, let's talk about them for a second, Dusty. There were reports yesterday about a couple of things that, you know, were talked about in Jacksonville yesterday. A couple of the reporters had an opportunity to talk with some folks down there. They said two things that came out yesterday about where we are with Arrowhead Stadium. Number one, the Chiefs have worked with and will be working with Populous to talk about renovations to Arrowhead Stadium. They're getting another round of designs for Arrowhead Stadium from Populous. If they renovate Arrowhead Stadium, it will be done with the folks at Populous. They basically built Arrowhead Stadium. They've been there from day one. So they have submitted more ideas, if you will, based on what the fans said in that survey a couple of months ago. They took all of that into account, and they've modeled renovations based on what the fans have wanted in a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs are also going to put out an RFP, or an RFQ as they call it in their world, a request for a proposal is what an RFP is, to every other design firm in the world that has built stadiums to say, hey, we're going to potentially build new in Kansas. Show us your best effort. So they're going to go to every architectural firm in the world, okay? And they're telling them, other than Populous, who's working on a renovated Arrowhead, they're going to every architectural firm in the world, give us your best people, give us your best design, put your best foot forward, let's see what you got. And those are four stadiums potentially in Kansas right now, right? The renovation is what's staying in Missouri. A new build would be in Kansas. So they're getting the best of both worlds. They're doing all of their due diligence. Should give us your best foot forward on renovation. Give us your best foot forward on new in Kansas. And so the news is they're still talking to both sides of the state line. Now, I have heard and been told by multiple reliable sources that if the Chiefs wanted to build a stadium in Kansas today, they already have multiple sites that they currently own where they could build a brand new stadium today. And the other thing that is out there, and we've talked about this, the Kansas City Chiefs have had long, in-depth conversations with the Olathe School District about building their practice facility out in Olathe and getting in together with the school district to make it a learning experience and a learning environment for the Olathe school districts. We've talked about, you know, I'm losing my train of thought. Athletic training, right? If you want to be an athletic trainer and you go through the program in Olathe, part of your on-the-job experience and learning in that program would be going over to the Chiefs facility, taping the ankles and all that real-world experience that they could potentially get. So there's a lot out there right now. Obviously, the deadline is the end of the year with what's going on between both of these franchises. I did talk to somebody yesterday who's very in the know about the two stadiums. I said, what if the Royals do choose this horrible idea of Clay County and they go to a vote of the people and it fails and the Chiefs have chosen to renovate Arrowhead? Now what happens? And the response I got was, not good. So, like, not good if that should happen. That's why if you're the Royals at this point in time, just go to 119th and Nall. There's no public vote. You're out of the Chiefs' way. And then really the Chiefs can consider and really ponder and think about renovating Arrowhead Stadium and everything that they can do out there. The only thing is in the NFL, Dusty, right now, there is a push to build new. Chicago's building new. Everybody's building new. The only place that renovated in the NFL that I can think of off the top of my head is Green Bay. And where are you going to build a new stadium in Green Bay? Mary's backyard? You know, like, there's nowhere to do that. So they renovated Lambeau. The push by the league has been to build new and to build these palaces where everybody can make money in them. So that's kind of the update that we have right now.
Appreciate that, as always. Coming up on the other side, we always appreciate you all. Text us how you feel. Feel free to call in how you're feeling about the game. We get some of your texts because it is flooded with Chris Jones controversy here on the text line on a Tuesday. Chiefs lose last night 27-24. Is that the final score? I've already forgotten.
No, it was 31-28.
There we go.
You get 28 cents off at Hy-Vee today on your gas when you spend $28 or more on groceries. So go fill up your tank today. Take advantage of what the Chiefs did from a scoring standpoint last night.
Well, 28-31 loss last night, as I should say. So we get into your text on the other side with Chris Jones being the focal point of the conversation, as well as Harrison Butker. We dive into it next year on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him.
ownership, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.